Today is May 2nd. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. Trying to train yourself to believe in something is good, I hear. Let's talk pirates. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Yinz guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh, and I'm joined as always by my brother Jake. What's up, Jake?
It's a good day, brother.
Yeah?
Yeah. Got to get out on the softball field, hit some balls. Pirates didn't lose today. It's a good day.
I was waiting for the Pirates didn't lose today. Are we live? Are you looking at the screen?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if this is working, but it looks like it might be. See if you see a test message.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go. All right. We're good. We're live. Yeah, it's been a week, huh?
It's been a long week. Those games are tough to stay up and watch. Like, I tried.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not even as late for me. And I'm just like, this is, I don't know why I'm watching this.
Right.
It's been brutal.
Yeah, you're looking at it saying like, we know that we're not gonna.
Yeah, I mean, by the time you get to the eighth inning, it's just like, seventh, eighth inning, I'm like, it's over.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
I thought we had a shot. You take the lead 1-0 on a Joe home run, and then it's all we do the whole game. And that was in the first inning.
Yeah, I get tired of hearing how many hitters in a row have been set down.
Yeah.
Or how many innings ago was our last hit? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of this. Trouble with not just us, right? But, you know, I pay attention to all the different podcasts and shows and everything. Everybody's kind of having a hard time with feeling like they're being repetitive. You know what I mean? Like, well, we can come on here and say the offense stinks, but we've been saying that for 2 weeks, two plus weeks now. So it does. It feels like you're being repetitive right now.
Yeah.
So Noah says he checked out by the third inning on all six games of the West Coast. So, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it felt like. Now, there was early on, I was like, well, it's 0-0. I can't go to bed. Anything can happen. And like a 0-0 game in the eighth inning, you're like, we actually have a shot.
Yeah.
You want to stay up for that one. So
it's tough. It's tough, man. You're getting some good pitching from some starters.
Yeah.
You're getting good enough pitching.
Good enough.
I'll say that. You know what I mean? It's not like we're, you know, Jared Jones and through the starting rotation, but I mean, these are winnable outings.
Yeah.
For sure. And
we'll bring up Mitch Keller later, for sure. We're going to talk about some of the individual players and just kind of go through some of that stuff. We're going to talk about, we'll kick off with some Paul Skenes stuff. And you know, we are going to talk about the offense because it is, even though it is repetitive, I mean, there's some things to be said. There's some things to be said and some things that we'll kind of cover.
I do want to throw this out before we get going too far. So this is the first one of May, right?
Yeah.
So 200 actually.
But yeah, first, episode first number 200, guys. Hey, wait a minute. That's worth it.
Sure.
That's a number.
Hold that ready because who was it? MLB Network, I believe, or you know, somebody did nastiest pitch of the month. Let's give it up for Jared Jones on the Terang strikeout.
Okay.
Yeah. That was filthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a little bit of, you know, a couple starts ago, but.
Yeah.
Friday.
So, you know.
It's good.
Yeah, no, that's good. Stay positive. We were positive tonight.
Right.
If anybody can say, well, hey, those guys found a way. I guess. Somehow. Yeah, I don't know. You know, they're coming back home. And you know, we're also going to cover you know, the weekend series against the Rockies and maybe some of what we could look forward to, I guess. But, you know, quickly, I will say this. A little off topic to get us started. Let's lighten the mood a little bit. Today is our youngest, Max's, second birthday. So we went down with all of our kids. They've gotten a bear at Build-A-Bear, like on their second birthday. So tradition, I guess. Annual. No, whoa. Not annual. So tradition, you know, we went down to do that. Went to Red Robin, ate Red Robin. Yes, I ate the fries and the burger. Let's go.
Nice.
For those of you who have been following along, you know why that's even a thing. But oddly enough, and our waiter, like, great, like hilarious, great service. I actually ran into him, oddly enough, in the bathroom. I was washing my hands. He walked in just to wash his hands. And I grabbed the paper towel and opened the door with the paper towel. And he made a comment. You know how many people I see don't do that? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, just don't. I'm about to go eat. I don't really want to put my hand on that handle.
Right.
And then I go the long way because I don't know where we're seated. And by the time I sit down, I get over towards the table. He's at our table like, oh, hey. Like we're old friends. Anyway, let's get to the end of the story. Great experience. Turns out his wife works there. And that's, you know, not the order we found it in. But his wife works there. She was bussing a table right behind us and dropped a cup of some kind of like guac sauce or some kind of avocado sauce, or it was a green sauce. Okay.
Sure.
Josh don't like green sauces, especially right now. Hits the ground and sprays just all over the place. I've got it on my shirt, on my arm. All down my shirt, on my pant leg. It had shot past me across the table and hit Milo like right.
Like, oh my gosh.
So we're just like wiping everything off. He comes out. He's like, what happened? And you're like, oh, it's just somebody dropped something. We're wiping off. It's okay. She comes out. He goes, it was her. And we were like, yeah. He goes, that's my wife. So then we were like, well, now we can't be mad. Cause like this dude was great. He brought all three kids ice cream because it was one of our kids' birthday. So it was like the whole thing. So anyway, this is still the same shirt. I didn't change. Cause we just kind of got home and got on here.
Hey, I didn't change either, man.
But I'm feeling a little bit like it's still there, like in my head, which is the only reason I brought it up. It was gross. But it was green, and it also was like, wow, I just got crapped on by something green, too. No? It's a bad joke. It's a bad joke.
You're fine.
All right. let's start this off with a little Paul Skeens. And, you know, I meant to check into something today. And like I said, we got home kind of late. But I believe this is his first start on actual 4 days rest. Right? So he started, and then it's 4 days, and he's starting Sunday. I think he started on Tuesday, right? He's starting this Sunday. So it's in your hair. Thanks. Thanks, Bucko Mike. It is in my hair. And now I'm going to be thinking about that. I'll be checking my headphones after we record. Like, did it get on there? this is the test, right? Where they're saying we want him on a schedule. And so far, and you and I had this conversation about a 6-man rotation and the possibility of that. Not that either one of us are completely sold on it. We just entertained it and we had a conversation about it, right? And so here we are though, his first start, and he went 6 innings, 75 pitches on Tuesday. He will start again on Sunday. Let the speculation begin on when he comes up, but I think this Sunday is a big start for him. If he looks the way he has looked, then you could say, we're really close. Can he do that one more time? Which he won't, because they'll have Monday off, and if they do a real rotation, he'll still get that extra day.
But they might not. They might just do it, jump him up.
They might jump him up.
They should. They should.
Give him 4 days rest, get him those three starts on a 5-man rotation. And then what's left, right? It has nothing to do with whether or not he's good enough.
Right.
I think he's more than shown that. You would kind of like to see him struggle a little bit, right? Isn't there that one thing in the back of your head, be like, it'd be nice if he knew what it meant to like get out of a jam.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get in jams. So like,
I mean, you kind of do say that because you look at what just happened to Holiday. Dude's never failed.
Yeah.
I mean, to the extent of 1 for 30 or something like that.
Baseball,
you know what I mean?
Terms, right? Baseball terms.
Right. And, you know, they turned around and sent him back down. And you don't want to see that happen to Skeens. You want to make sure he's good. But at the same time, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I saw.
I don't want to see him struggle either.
Right.
Dominate.
What's the clip on MLB Network? Is that was that Dan O'Dowd who said they're doing everything right? And they're also saying, like, I think he said right around Memorial Day or whatever. He said, get through the Braves series so he doesn't have to do that. and then you can bring him in. But either way, he said, how was it he put it? He said, what you don't want is when you call them up, you don't want to send them back down. You want there to be nothing left to do in AAA. And we've already had conversations about the other one, Henry Davis, saying, send him back. And you get to that point with some of these guys. And so is that a thing? I don't really know. I mean, I think as fans, we're all ready to see Paul Skeens on this team right now. And you get the argument, he can't hit. Right now, we can't hit. We need hitters, not pitchers. But there's also something to be said about calling up a guy like that. And is there some momentum that is built off of the excitement around that, right? Is there something there that Paul Skeens could still trigger some sort of momentum, some sort of energy, which it looks like they don't have?
I mean, so I honestly, like, until you brought that up, I hadn't really considered that as a thing. But think about just turn the clock back a little bit, right? Open up the season. Jared Jones is going on a terror. There's a little bit of energy going on. I don't know. We can try it again, I guess, for another 16-game streak or something.
Yeah. And I think
that wears off. Then we got to bring up somebody else.
Well, I think the team in general was excited coming into this season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think there's a little bit of the whole thing there. There's also the fact that you started off the season with the Marlins and the Nationals.
Right,
that play into that as well. But I think there was some general excitement. This team, the way that they've talked, and this isn't the first time I'm going to say this, or this isn't the last time, I mean, I'm going to say this tonight. But the way that they've talked is they plan on winning games. And if that's the case, then there was some excitement coming into the season. And so I think Jared Jones or not, I think there was a little bit of excitement. Does he bring some of that back? Maybe. He's going to bring some people. He's going to bring people to the game.
People, yeah.
And with people come excitement, and just in general again. So I don't know. I mean, I think something still could be kickstarted by that. Obviously, Jared Jones has been really exciting, but I think that we were surprised. His first four starts surprised us each time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we were like, oh, whoa, wait a minute.
He did it again.
And then he did it again. And then it's like, do we have the real deal here? You know what I mean? And so, and now we're just, you know, pumped when it's Jared Jones Day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I think there might be something to that. I don't know that that's. All right. So the offense, I mean, Paul Skeens can't hit. He's not going to come up here and catch and be a two-way player. It's not going to happen.
Right.
And so he's not going to help the offense do anything. Which leads us into the next question. I mean, Ji-Won Bae, maybe. I mean, he's in like what, 391. I didn't see today, but and Nick Gonzalez is hitting well, and we know some of the underlying numbers show that if Nick Gonzalez comes up, he might still strike out a lot, and it might be too much to still hit 370 like he's doing right now. But there's something there. He's hot right now, and I think that's the key. If Bae and Gonzalez are hot right now, and Grandal's making his way, you had a day off. I wouldn't be surprised if we wake up tomorrow morning and there are changes. because you had a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had a chance to say, all right, we've got a homestand coming up against the Colorado Rockies. We'll get to them again. We'll get to them in a little bit. Now would be a good time to do it. I mean, you're no time better than now. Your offense is, I mean, you just got swept by, and I understand, say what you want about Oakland actually playing good baseball right now because they just beat the Orioles in a series. We watched those games. They're not playing that great of baseball. Like, they just went up against a team who wasn't hitting.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we had three pitchers going up against us with high, high ERAs, and we did nothing against them. So I don't want to discredit a baseball team for doing things they're supposed to do. But at the same time, like, they even tried to give us one runs. In one of those innings in particular, and we still couldn't come up with anything.
Right. So I think that was the most frustrating inning of baseball I've watched in a long time.
And we thought that Sunday game against the Red Sox was rock bottom. You know what I mean?
I just mean that inning in general.
Yeah.
That inning in general is just so frustrating to me.
Yeah.
You get Hayes with a leadoff single. Dude can't find the strike zone to save his life. Pass ball. We're up the second. Get a walk. We get hit by a pitch. I mean, like, just everything. Wild pitch scores a run. And still, nobody could just find another hit.
Yeah.
Like, gosh.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, man.
Yeah. And it's all over the place. And we don't really have to get into that. For a Thursday night, Friday, you know, weekend show. Yeah. We don't have to, excuse me, get real deep here, but it's been rough. I just actually released my monthly trendline piece for Steel City Pirates, and it was basically talking about runners in scoring position. If you guys haven't gotten a chance to read that, head over there. I looked at a bunch of things trying to figure out what the heck happened, and I pulled all my data on the 29th, so it was 16 and 14 games. Trust me, it didn't get any better the next two games, so you might as well say 16 and 16. If anything, the numbers lowered. But I just looked at, like, what were they doing in general, right? The batting average on balls in play is plummeted. And you could say, well, okay, how do you do that? You could hit the ball harder. You could do, well, that's expected batting average. That's forward-looking. You're right. BABIP is more, you know, what happened. You don't really, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
there's a little bit there. And so it's really low. It will be circumstantial. If that's low, your average is going to be low. But they're also, that forward-looking stuff, they are hitting the ball harder right now. Actually, harder in the second. Now, there's probably more strikeouts. You know what I mean? But really not much more. They didn't increase it by a whole lot. So all these numbers I looked up, they were like still kind of similar. What was working early wasn't working later. And it came down to runners in scoring position. They were still doing well with runners in scoring position as well as the league was really in the first 16 games when they were 11-5. And in those last 14 games, and it continued the next two, just runners in scoring position, they're just, I mean, it's very different. Go read the article. It's worth reading. There's a couple charts in there that actually makes it worth. There's some visuals that is a little bit different than just hearing or than just reading something. But, I mean, it's just really bad.
Yeah.
You get runners in scoring position, you can't get them in. And, I mean, to me, that is frustrating because you actually are getting guys there. The walking and things like that, like, they still do those things. Yeah. But they're not hitting it, so there's a lot less opportunities because they're not getting hits and putting themselves in those situations. But either way, it's worth a read. Go read it if you would. And there's links on our Twitter and everything like that. I should have put it in the description, but I forgot to. So I will later, but if you're listening right now, it's not linked. So go check it out. With that said, let's talk about like specifics here, because we came into the season. I just mentioned a little bit ago that they were excited.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Bucko Mike, just before we move on from runners in scoring position, two for their last 37 with runners in scoring position. I mean, they're just adding on. It's terrible. And, you know, let's go into the next step of that. Like I said, there was excitement coming into the season. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much, like, I feel like they were a little more excited than, like, the fan base was as far as, like, what we really thought could happen. They're talking about division. I think anybody who was really excited as far as fan goes, like, the curve was like, we might be able to get second. You know what I mean? It wasn't, we're going to win 90 games, right?
Right.
And I don't think anybody really even, I don't know what the highest I heard was. I think yours was 84. You know, I mean, I said 78, and I was optimistic saying 78. I think that last year the 76 was a little inflated because of the April. And so I thought that 78 would be like a, okay, we're going to have some lows, but we should be able to hit that number. I still think we should be able to hit that number.
Yeah, I don't easily, think we're right? out of that. Yeah.
I actually think that maybe it's better, but maybe not. This is where we're going to go with this. Let's talk about, have we missed on the talent? Because we've heard, you're going to hear a lot of fans say, well, they can't draft, they can't develop. And it's, okay, well, if they can't draft and develop, then who's on this team? And who do we actually believe in? And were we wrong about it?
Right.
And if you are watching, I know there's at least a couple, put some names out there that maybe, you know, you're concerned about that we make sure we hit. But let's start with the biggest one, because I think he's the top dog on this list as far as if this team is going to do anything. Mm-hmm. O'Neal Cruz is going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, for sure.
So you had all the hype around the hard hits, the hard throws, the crazy freak playing shortstop because he's so tall, and the excitement. He's incredibly fast. Right now, it would be reasonable and totally fair to say that his struggles are 100% or, you know, are largely impacted by the fact that he played 9 games at the beginning of the year and he missed an entire season. We thought in the spring, like, wow, he's just going to bounce right back, which to me would have been another freakish thing to do because I didn't think that that was possible.
Right.
And he's showing now that it's not possible. The game's really fast. He's not, he hasn't been in the league for 4 years and then missed a season. This isn't Reese Hoskins, who had, you know, basically a full rookie, you know, contract or whatever, and then only missed his 6th season. You know what I'm saying? Like, that guy should be, he's going to have trouble, but he should be able to bounce back a little quicker than a young player who's only played in 100 games. And then, of course, you get the Ellie De La Cruz comps. Well, Ellie's taken off.
Yeah.
He's on fire. And say what you want about those two. I don't mind that they're being compared, but I also am excited as a baseball fan for both of them. And I do think that they're different. If O'Neal Cruz didn't break his leg, I would have said, Ellie's going to be faster. He's going to steal more bags. And O'Neal's going to have more power. That would have been my takeaway. I think they both might end up in the outfield at some point. But but either way, I don't know about O'Neal. I don't know if he will or not. I think Ellie could be a huge asset in the outfield. But the way O'Neal throws, I don't see that being a way the outfielder throws the ball. So he'd have to change everything. But anyway, he's not there. Did we miss on him? Is he really not what we thought? And we just caught him at his best. And now we just won't see it.
I mean, I'm not ready to pack it in on Cruz. I think a big thing about that is the fact that he missed last year. Here's my frustrations. Here's where the frustrations come in, right? Can Andy Haynes get him going? Like, I don't know. I'm not confident in that, but I'm also not blaming Andy Haynes at this point. Like, O'Neal Cruz needs to execute. He needs to figure out his timing. He needs to get on track. He needs to start barreling the ball up. I don't see behind the closed doors. I don't see what happens, you know, when the game's not being played. So I don't. Somebody has to take the fall, though. That's why everybody just says Andy Haynes, right? I mean,
well,
who else would you blame?
I would say this. When the entire team is struggling, it's got, I mean, the hitting coach is going to be the guy. There's no way that everybody struggles. Let's talk about game plan. Let's talk about what's said before games. Let's talk about what's said after games. I mean, the hitting coach is largely, quote unquote, at fault here, but I don't think it's at fault for the struggle as much as it's at fault for who's he ever fixed
right
on this team. Who has he ever fixed when they've been going bad? And Andy Haynes is credited for saying, like, we worked extra hard and now I'm on a roll.
Right.
It's just not right there.
Yeah. And so I'm willing to wait Cruz out a while. Like, I got a kind of a long leash with him. I don't think we missed.
The thing is, you don't think we missed. You think he'll be there. It's just taking a long time. I think this is largely in part by the fact that he just missed a ton of time last year. Let's go to the next guy. And we'll keep moving through these guys because, you know, for timing's sake. Jack Suwinski. Jack Suwinski showed so much promise to me last year. And for a lot of the reasons that people don't like this lineup, he's patient. He waits for his pitch. He does take some pitches that you'd wish he wouldn't take. But he also is aggressively attacking, yes, I said both of those words, pitches that he wants, right? He's very patient if it's the pitcher's pitch. But if it's his pitch, he's going after it. We talked about how little he swung first pitch. But when he did serious damage. And yeah, you brought up last year, like, I wish he'd do it more often. And I think I said, we just don't know what that would look like because of who he is. Well, now we do. He's swinging first pitch all the time. He's trying his hardest not to strike out. And as a result, he's like slapping the ball and just getting out because he's not hitting the ball with any authority. The home runs are going to go away for what? So your strikeout rate can be under 20%? Bro, get that strikeout rate up to 25. I know that's a lot of strikeouts. I don't care if it gets close to 30. If you're doing damage and hitting 25 to 30 home runs, you are going to help this team more than whatever you're doing right now.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit concerned with Jack Suwinski because while I was really excited thinking he was going to be a key part of this offense this season, I'm looking at a completely different hitter who looks nothing like what we saw from him last year. And yes, he's streaky, and I'm okay with the streaks because he can carry a team for a week, and then somebody else can do it for the 2 weeks he's bad. But that's what a team is.
Right.
But we're not looking at the same guy. I don't know what, like, I don't understand the approach, man.
Yeah, it's not like...
He's trigger happy.
He's pulling the trigger, but he's pulling the trigger late, too. He's indecisive. He's deciding to swing, but it's like you said, he's just slapping at it and not hitting with authority.
Well, he's hitting not pitches that he should be hitting. That's what O'Neill Cruz should be doing because that guy can pull a ball off the ground and hit it into the gap. That guy can hit a ball, you know what I mean, that's 4 inches outside and slap it down the left field line for a homer. Like, that's what O'Neill Cruz should be doing. Jack Suwinski needs to be patient and attack his pitches. That's the type of hitter we saw from him, and the walks were up. And yes, as a result, the strikeouts are up. And it's so funny because that is what everybody hates about this offense. And the one guy who's good at it, at least one of the guys who's good at it, isn't doing it.
Right.
He's swinging the bat all the time and hitting these pitches that I'm like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? He's at the very bottom of the team in like strikes taken. And that was like his thing. We're like, oh gosh, Jack watched another one. He doesn't watch him anymore. He swings at everything, a breaking ball low and away. He's slapping it for a pop out the left field. And it's like, bro, spit on that.
Yeah.
Make him throw you something else. And if he doesn't, then try to slap that. Anyway, that to me, that's Suwinski's deal. And it's like the complete reverse of some of these other guys. Henry Davis, this is a big one. Henry Davis, the whiffs are crazy. We've already said he should be sent down. He's got to get that timing. He's got to be able to not swing through fastballs. So quickly, I'll say, is this a bust? Or do we think this is a hitter who's just stinks right now?
I think it's just a hitter stinks right now. I don't think he's a bust yet. I got to see you come up multiple times and fail before I consider you a bust. You're a 1-1 talent for a reason.
Or at least a 1-4 talent for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even saying he was picked 4 slots above, he's still a 1-4. It's not like he was a third rounder that we're like, watch this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's still a first round talent.
It's there. He's just got to find it again.
How about David Bednar? Because I think it's hilarious. Bednar.
I know. I think it's funny he's on this list. I mean, so have we seen the best that players can be yet? Part. Yeah, absolutely. We've seen him at his best.
Is this the downward spiral yet?
No, he's just a tough patch.
Screwed this one up, right? Like, they screwed his season. They screwed this one up. Majinski and Holderman were hurt. Moretta's gone. I think they tried to pass him. They shouldn't have done that. He should have started the year on the IL. He should have got a proper build up. Yeah. I think, and now it's too late. And I think they screwed this one up. And I understand they panicked a little bit.
Yeah, and you almost had to. They were in that, you know.
Yeah, there wasn't much. They were there.
Up against it.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Maybe. No, I definitely don't think he's. Am I worried about what he's doing right now? Yes. Am I worried about David Bednar's career? No.
Okay.
He's fine.
Okay. Mitch Keller's been interesting. It's been lackluster, I would say, for the money, because everybody, that's what you're going to go to. Man, we just signed him. For the money, he's kind of there.
Yeah.
You expect a little bit of a bargain on an extension. You're just not getting that bargain. Like, he's not pitching like he's saving you any money. But, like, is he Jack Flaherty? Sure. You know what I mean? Which is what that money is. It's $15 million. Is this what we get? 5-6 innings, 3-4 runs? Or
I'm frustrated about this one right now because, like, it seems like every game I can't watch is one that he's pitching. Right, I'm always working or doing something that when he's pitching, and it's frustrating for me because I can't talk about this one a whole lot. I mean, numbers wise, it's ho hum. It's
not good.
It's not great.
Yeah, watching the games, I'll say it doesn't feel as bad as when you then look at the statistics and you're like, yeah, I mean, like, it's not good. If you would have said, oh, through this many starts, he's going to have a 5 ERA. And you're going to be like, wow, that's bad. But like, watching the starts, it's been, he's on the cusp. He's almost there. 2-run homer out of the game. You know what I mean? And it's like, gosh, if he could have just got through that 5th inning or that 6th inning or whatever it was without that 2-run homer, that would have been a fine start. But it wasn't, because something he did right at the end. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, like,
and one big mistake.
So that's a little bit frustrating. How about, let's see if we have any other ones here. Hey, Pitt City, what's going on? We've got Bucko Mike said Jack was good last year in September. Absolutely. And that's the thing. Screwed Bednar and Davis's seasons. It does have that feel to it. Jared Triolo. This is a guy who obviously had the whole conversation this offseason about batting average on balls in play. It was astronomical. He's not going to be able to continue to be close to 300. That's just not the type of hitter he's going to be. And so I made a lot of comps to Jordy Mercer. I still, when I watch him play, dude, I feel like I'm watching Jordy Mercer. Like, the defensive ability is better, but I even feel like he moves like him. I just can't get it out of my head. The only thing I don't understand about Triolo right now is why he thinks a ball in the inside corner should be blooped to right field. It's like his swing is so unorthodox, trying to hit the ball to right field. And it reminds you of Key Bryan never looked that uncomfortable when he refused to pull the ball. It's like the guy can't pull the ball.
Yeah.
But is this maybe who he is? And maybe we were high because he came in hot. But is this Jared Triolo? We've seen great defense from him. The offense has been
what you get with him.
Good at times, but I kind of have him. I mean, dude, exit velo, launch angle, hard hit rate. barrel rate, all of these things are so close to what Jordy Mercer did when he was playing that it makes me feel like Jordy Mercer was a 250 hitter, right? I think Triolo has the ability to be that. And I think with his defense, I'd take that. Like, that's still a good major leaguer. It's just right, not a guy you're going to build anything off of, which is fine. You need all kinds of players.
I don't even know. I still like the role for Triolo as a backup. Like, I just think I think he's a great asset to a team as a bench role. I don't think he's a starter on this team right now. I mean,
hard to argue on this team.
Hard to argue, right.
It's not like his offense is any worse.
Right.
Really, yeah. I mean, than most.
Yeah. But I think he's playing below his ability right now at the plate, but I don't think it's a lot higher.
So you're going through this lineup and you're saying, no, I just according to your answers, right? And I think I'm there too on just about everyone we've talked about. Jared Triolo, on the other hand, I think this might be it, right? Sure, your average, your on base, those things can go up and down as, you know, ebbs and flows of your career and your season and stuff like that. But we have seen like a hot streak is what we've seen so far from Triolo coming into the season. And I think that he could do another hot streak like that, but I think it's going to even out because of things like this. Anybody can hit better when the whole lineup's hitting. So there's that. But when you look at this lineup, you're saying, okay, so then did we not like poorly evaluate this team? So you think these all guys are all playing bad, and this is not I think we overshot this. Maybe this team isn't as good as we thought. You think that there is still an offensive team here who can win throughout the course of the season?
Again, I don't think they're lighting the world on fire. Like, I don't want to answer this question and people be like, you're way too optimistic. Like,
they're not the Braves.
They're definitely not the Braves. They're not the Orioles. They're not, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be winning the division with this lineup.
Right.
Unless our division's weak.
And you're saying when they're going good, they're not.
Yeah. But I feel like what we have is, you know, a 500, maybe slightly better, give and take. With right now, no, because I think we've hit that rough stretch so hard that I think we're not going to get much better than 500 if we get 500.
Yeah. So you're going to rely on good pitching. You're going to have to rely on that. We've got a lot of pitching prospects. They're all going to have to click, or at least five of them, right? As far as the starters go, you're going to have to click there. You're going to have a good bullpen, and you're going to have to build pieces. Maybe first base is going to have to be fixed with somebody better than Rowdy Tellez, or yes, I'm going to say Connor Joe or any of these guys. It has to be fixed with somebody like serious. And maybe even an outfield spot. I would say probably, right? If Jack could figure it out, or maybe a couple guys could figure it out, and then get an actual center fielder who can hit, not Michael Taylor, who can't, but you're going to have to add to this lineup in order to make it like, all right, now we're a division contender with the pitching that we could have with Jones and Skeens at the top, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking, not, you know, eventually.
Yeah.
So like, yes, I think there are still building blocks on this offense, and I think that they are underperforming. But I also think it's going to have to get better. And I think first, sure, second, an outfield spot, right? I think that you could generally say throughout this team that there are spots that could be better, but I'm not overly, like, is Termar going to be the guy at second, right? You're going to have to see something better than, I like Nick Gonzalez. I still don't think without other pieces, if you get a, like, legit first base guy, just, I mean, I don't know who, right? What would it have to be? Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper. If you had a guy like that at first base, Nick Gonzalez would be a great second baseman for this team.
Yeah.
But because of the fact that we don't have somebody like that, everybody has to pull a little more weight, and I'm not sure about Nick Gonzalez. Even though I do like, you know what I mean, as a fan, like, there are things, not that I'm saying he's the answer. I'm saying he's the opposite of that. But Peguero, Triolo, none of those guys. Bay for center, like those guys aren't the upgrade this offense is going to need. Hopefully they catch some fire if they can call them up for the weekend or something. You know what I'm saying? For a stretch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still think that if the offense all like, if there's an ebb and a flow, if there's these guys are hot now, these guys are hot later, if this is like a, okay, they gave us what we thought they could give us, then they're right around a 500 team with good pitching. Like they're in the mix for a wild card, right? So I don't think that what we're seeing right now is what this team is.
Right.
But if somebody in that room can't get these guys to hit in some way, then somebody in that room has to be changed.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it. And that maybe more than one guy in that room has to be changed.
Listen, I'm not against it.
So, all right.
This isn't a time for buddy ball, I'll tell you that.
Right. Right. And yeah. I think let's move on to the Rockies. I think we've said enough. There was probably guys that we didn't bring up that we probably would have liked to. We try to keep our second show of the week, Thursday night, Friday morning, a little bit shorter. But, you know, we're running a little bit here, and I'm okay with it. Yeah. NS9, what's up? In the house a little bit. By the way, Bucko Mike, I agree. Keller, too much cutter. I think he's trying to stay healthy or something. It's kind of hard to argue with. I don't really know. It's weird. Rocky's coming to town. And the way the Pirates are playing right now, you just love to say, okay, good. Like I said, the A's came in a little hot. Even though I felt like they didn't play well enough to get a sweep, they got one. Here's a couple things the Pirates could do for MLB. These aren't good things. The Rockies have yet to win a series. I think they've only split one. The Rockies have yet to win back-to-back games this season. I think the only team for both of those. So this is what we do. Right? We're going to lose back-to-back games and the series. Is that what's going to happen?
Listen, I don't want to call anything out because I said we were going to win the last series and we got swept. So I'm just going to let you take a guess on this week.
That's fair. They score about as much as the Pirates do. I didn't update it for today's game or anything. Their homers are around the same as the Pirates. But they've given up the most runs in the game. They've, I think, struck out the least, something like that. There was another one. Actually, my notes say they have, and then I stopped typing. So there was something else there that I wanted to write. But either way, I mean, this team has been, like, we should feel at least like we're okay because we had the 11-5 start. Because we're not this, and we're not Chicago. You know what I mean? The White Sox, that is.
Yeah.
But it sure does feel like it because of how bad it has been recently. So I don't really have a whole lot of, I don't have, you could look at the guy, we're going to face Cal Quantrill, Austin Gomber, Ryan Feltner. Those guys look about like the three in Oakland did. So we're not going to score. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we've got Perez.
Gomber's had a good season before.
Yeah. Like they were just swept by the Marlins. So,
yeah,
you know, at some point you had, like I said, you had a day off. I really think there should be changes. Send a message. Even if it's not the answer, Nick Gonzalez and Jiwon Bae have played well. Reward them, get them up there and get Grandal up there. Get Davis down, get somebody else. Like, you got to send two other guys down, right? Olivares isn't playing a whole lot right now. Send him down for a little bit. You know, I don't know who else. That's not for me to figure out.
Well, that's the interesting part, though, because when I was thinking about it, like, who the heck you sending down? It's just tough.
Yeah, I mean, the offense is bad. You should be able to do it. I mean,
right?
What if it's Triolo? I mean, I don't like that because I feel like we've got. Like I said, we've got the too many outfielder thing. I mean, that's why Olivares doesn't play that much. We've just got too many outfielders. Now, unless Connor Joe's going to play a lot more first base for these games here, but I mean, I think right now, not my decision. I think they've invested at least anything into Tellez. He's going to at least see. You're not going to give up on somebody in a month. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's going to face Colorado and the Angels at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like at least. And it probably doesn't stop there. So, like, he's going to see time.
Yeah.
There's no question. So, I mean, like I said, just in a way to say, all of ours, we're just going to send you down so you can play every day. Come back hot so that we can send somebody else down for a while. I mean, like I said, I don't know who. I mean, yeah, I don't know. You run into that issue where we're starting to get guys who, like, if you send them down, is it going to hurt them?
Yeah, that's what makes it tough. It's not tough to figure out who deserves to go down.
Yes, yeah. All right. But that's actually part of it, though, right? Send a message. At some point, it has to be difficult. This league is difficult. This game is difficult. You have to do something when you've got two guys hitting over 350 down there who actually could say, like, at least they're hot right now. And Bay could offer something on the base paths. I know it's not great in the outfield, but if anything right now could spark anything, I say you try it.
Has he been strictly playing center field at this point?
He should be. But so, I think he's mostly been in the outfield.
So maybe the outfield's gotten better. I haven't watched their games. I haven't watched, you know, Ji-Hwan Bae running around the outfield.
He's better in center than he is a second, though. I mean, you can at least say that.
Yeah, you know that. But, I mean, you got to do something. And if we're not going to hold the head of everything accountable, then you got to start holding the players accountable. Just being like, listen, it's tough love, man. This game's hard. You got to go get hot. Tell them, prove to me that you want to come back.
That's it. Go earn it back and you'll be back.
Right.
So,
I'm not giving up on you. You're just not getting the job done and the next person's getting an opportunity.
Right. And the same thing with Nick Gonzalez, as we talked about with some of these other guys. Like, if you do call him up and you do give him a shot, he's going to get a shot. He'll be here till June, no matter how bad it is, because he's also a first-round pick and they're going to give you. I don't know that they are with Gonzalez. I feel like they don't like him, but you know what I mean? And then you still have, Peguero, you still have Triolo. I mean, you still have options. None of them are just like, yeah, but I'm Jackson Holliday. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like you said, even he's being sent back down to say, I mean, he's also 20 years old. So
yeah.
And no, they didn't jump the gun on calling him up either. He earned it.
Yeah.
And the same thing if Nick Gonzalez comes up right now and doesn't do it and they say, well, maybe they should have. No, he's earning it right now.
Right.
Give him a shot. He's hot. If it lasts 2 weeks, that's 2 weeks better than what we're getting right now at second base.
Yeah.
Other than defense, because we are getting good defense. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Without a question, like Jared Triolo has been great on defense. Maybe Triolo plays more first. I don't think that helps. Either way. All right. I think we're done here. We've said just about all we could say. It actually more than I thought we would on a day like today.
Yeah.
But they've got a chance for a 3-game series here. Actually, 6 games. Angels are coming to town after that. You know, you got a chance to actually steal a couple without playing well and then maybe start playing well. I don't really know. Things can change like this in baseball too.
Yeah.
There are some guys I don't think can. You know what I mean? Cruz is not going to change like that. We're going to watch that happen.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
if his timing comes back and it's back, it just happens.
Yeah, maybe.
Just start, you know, I don't know.
Got anything else before we get out of here?
I do think we're on the up and up. I think we, adopting a team dog. So there's that. No better way to rally the troops than getting a new puppy for the clubhouse. What are we doing?
It's not going to be in the clubhouse, is it? It's for pup night stuff, right?
I don't know, and I don't care. Timing is everything in marketing, man. Just not a great look. I don't care either way. Just not a great look right now.
I'm bummed out.
Yeah, bummed out. Name the dog.
Name the dog. We should name him
Friday.
Name Roller Coaster.
Roller Coaster. All right. That's all we've got. Let's play a fun song on our way out here for all of you Hidden Coach lovers. And let's get out of here. Let's go, Bucks.
Let's go, Bucks.
As the cheers fall silent and the bats stay still, hey, the crowd's in an uproar, another strike, no thrill.